Happy Halloween, everyone, and welcome to Air Magique. I'm your host, Eric, and I bought that ridiculous Samsung Disney 100 TV. And with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, everyone. I'm that guy that loves Halloween over Christmas. And today, we're talking all about Traumatica at Europa Park and the Villainous Night at Disneyland Paris.
Oh, so exciting. But before we get to all that, some news. Niels, what has caught your eye at Disneyland Paris over the past month?
Well, the Disney company celebrates its 100th birthday basically all year, but
it's unavoidable at this point. All the supermarkets, everywhere you go,
everywhere
it's like Disney
something.
100.
Yeah. But October 16 was the real day. So we decided to visit Disneyland Paris as there was a one-day celebration announced. And the park opened already at 8:30 that day for everyone, so there was no extra magic time. Sorry for those people who were expecting a quiet and easy morning. And the opening ceremony, which was actually the highlight of the day, started at 9:30 already. We had park president Natasha Rafalski and three ambassadors, so that's the two existing ambassadors and one of the new ones, presenting the whole ceremony. There were, of course, a lot of nice words, especially towards the cast members, maybe because of the strikes, I was thinking. But of course, I totally agree. The cast members are making the magic, so it was good that they got some extra attention. There were a lot of dancers. There was a big group of Disney Volunteer Program members, and there were 100 characters.
That's
so
cool.
That was definitely the highlight. It was really amazing if you at least had a good view so that you could spot them really well.
But I bet it was a tough thing to see everybody crowding around.
There were quite a lot of fans in the park that morning. And the difference with, I think, a regular morning is that people spread over the park to do their first attractions. And now, let's say, 90% of the people in the park were, well, gathering together around Central Plaza and Main Street because it was just in that area. But well, I was lucky as there was a special viewing area for the Inside Ears members. We didn't have a full Inside Ears program that day, but we had a picture in the park at 7:15 in the morning already. So that was really nice, a group picture in the shape of 100. And we got a VIP viewing area on the corner of Main Street and Central Plaza.
Nice.
So at least we were able to see the characters coming by. Quite a lot of common characters, classic characters, but also some unique ones like Robin Hood. Oh, and Mirabelle was her first public appearance.
So cool to have her at Disneyland Paris.
Yep.
Yeah.
So really nice. Yeah, this opening ceremony was pretty cool, but the rest of the day was nice, but no big other highlights in my opinion.
Right.
There was a pre-parade announced.
Yeah.
And basically it was just one float from Dream and Shinebrighter, now with the 100 theme, and the classic characters, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Pluto, and Goofy were on there in their really nice 100 years outfits.
Cute.
But that's it. And then for another 20, 25 minutes, there was nothing happening. And then the regular Stars on Parade started. So people were waiting for a long, long time for just one float.
Yeah, yeah.
There were photo opportunities in both parks. So that was smart that they spread the crowds a little bit. In the studios, it was Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, and I think Goofy. They were changing every 20, 30 minutes. But that was already full at the moment that it was actually starting.
Okay. People were lining up.
So they already had a queue for 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then there was another, I think, 1 or 1.5 hour meeting moment in the evening, but I didn't go there.
Were they wrearing their special outfits for those meet and greets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they had a 100 backdrop, so that was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was not really well organized. It was quite messy, the whole queue, the whole line, and there was not enough capacity. They really should have done this in both parks with all classic characters.
Yeah.
In the Disneyland park, we had on the castle stage Donald and Daisy and Chip and Dale. So they were also changing every 20 or 30 minutes. But there were no lines. They tried to make that a selfie spot. So there were like a fixed amount of positions that the characters would stand on the stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't place any lines or fences,
it's just a mob of people
to guide people to those 6 or 7 points, then it's a big mess. And people will not go away. The idea was when you're really close to the stage, you take your selfie with the character or characters and then you go away. But people were thinking, well, I just had Chip and Dale. Now I wait for another half an hour for Donald and Daisy.
Okay.
And I understand because you want to see them all. So yeah, it was not really working. But in the end, I had some nice pictures and I loved seeing them in their nice outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other than that, there was, let's say, an add-on, an extended version of the nighttime shows, both Avengers Power the Night at the Tower of Terror and after Disney Dreams at the Sleeping Beauty Castle. There was the same additional 5 minutes of projections with the classic Disney music. A lot of classic characters. It was like a storybook and they were showing a lot of elements from famous Disney stories. Nice, but no drones, hardly any fireworks. So
that's kind of disappointing. Yeah. It's funny because they did give the cast member party this beautiful drone
they
choreo.
Had a nice drone show.
So I would have also expected something from the Disney 100 day, like at least 100 in the sky. Like at least that.
At least a big finale with a lot of fireworks and the 100 logo created by drones, something like that. Quite subtle.
Right, okay.
it absolutely was nice, but people were expecting more and I understand that. So I was happy that I decided to see it in the studios as we were able to just enter the production courtyard like 10, 15 minutes before the Avengers show started. We still had nice places with a good view on the tower, and the tower is pretty big. Yeah. There are no trees or stuff in your face that is blocking the view. So
that's a great thing about it.
Yeah. I think it was harder to see it in a good way in the Disneyland Park with more people and all the trees and the lights and the speakers and the stages and the Main Street buildings. It's always a bit more difficult. So
did you see that photo of the family that climbed up on one of the popcorn stands to watch the show?
Yeah, ridiculous.
only at Disneyland Paris.
I was a little bit afraid that I was missing out something in the Disneyland Park.
Yeah.
The question was like, after seeing it in the studios, would we run over to Disneyland Park and see Disney Dreams and hope for a bit more with drones and fireworks?
Yeah.
But in the end, it seemed to be the same. So I was happy that we already left before the big crowds.
Yeah, I mean, thank Mickey for social media and YouTube because you can check all that out there and you don't feel like you miss so much.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I mean, it sounds like a really fun day. Maybe just a little bit less than what folks expected from a big event like 100.
True. But on the other hand, the American parks didn't get any celebrations on the day.
Yeah.
So
at least we got something.
At least we got something. We had something better than in the US.
You expected a cake, but you got a cookie, but you know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. So if you already planned your vacation or you just enjoy being in the parks with an annual pass and go on a regular base, then it was totally fine. But if you really booked this as your vacation and were expecting a lot of big things, then
So in this month's Patreon exclusive show, we're continuing our in-depth exploration of Space Mountain de la Terre à la Lune at Disneyland Paris. That's right. In part 4 of our series, we'll share even more obscure fun facts, insider knowledge, and so much more. You can support the show and get access to this exclusive episode as well as all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive shows over on patreon.com/airmagique. And it all starts at just €2. Stick around to the end of this show for a short preview of that Patreon exclusive episode. Now, Niels got to attend the fabulous Disneyland Pass exclusive Villainous Night at Disneyland Paris. So Niels, in a nutshell, what was Villainous Night at Disneyland Paris?
Well, the Villainous Night was indeed a Disneyland Pass and also Legacy Annual Pass holder exclusive night. It was an event on Friday, September 29. So just before the actual Halloween season started on October 1st.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, this event was all about villains and Halloween decorations were already up. So in fact, it felt like a Halloween party, like the ticketed parties we had last year, and they're not here this year. But for pass holders, well, they had a good alternative with this special night. The night was a bit shorter though. It started at 9:45 p.m. and it was closing at 2 a.m. or at least the closing show started at 2 a.m. A little bit shorter than the regular ticketed parties. I think they usually start around 8 or 8:30. So this was like a 4 hour and 50 minute special event.
Oh, nice. So this is part of Disneyland Paris's, I don't want to say ominous, but everybody was guessing like, what are these exclusive surprises and events that they have planned throughout the year?
Yeah, they promised 4 parties a year. So this was the first, and now the second has been announced for November 30, which will be a Christmas party.
How was it getting tickets for this? Was it easy, or were all the reservation slots instantly gone?
This was like buying tickets online. Okay. They said, well, if you arrive at the park, you have to be able to show the tickets. The tickets are...
They're tied to your name.
They're personal. Yeah. So, and you have to be able to show your identity and your annual pass when you arrive. Okay. And people were allowed to bring one extra person.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
The tickets were €55, so reasonable priced compared to the ticketed events that we had in the past. I was expecting it to be sold out in like an hour, but we actually bought tickets a few days later.
Oh, nice.
After the sale started. Yeah. So in the end, it was sold out, but...
It took a while to get there.
It took a while to get there, indeed.
Yeah, because I remember that with the annual pass, the original OG annual pass. We tried to go to one of those ticketed events, but everything was sold out so quickly that we didn't even get a chance to buy the tickets because the website was offline the entire time. And when it came back online, everything was already sold out. And we're like,
that was not the case this time.
Yeah, so that's good to hear.
We didn't buy tickets at first because it was a bit challenging for us. We have to drive by car from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
My daughter was in school till 3 p.m. And it's like, a five and a half hour drive if there is no traffic.
Yeah, so it's not a ride around the
and
corner.
There are no stops. Yeah. So yeah, you have to dine, you have to fuel the car, you have to visit the restroom. Yeah. And of course, Friday afternoons.
Lots of traffic.
Yeah, they're awful. So we were not sure if we would make it in time.
Yeah.
Like parking at 9:30 to be able to enter the park at 9:45. But in the end, yeah, we were a little bit later, like 10:30, but that was okay because the crowds weren't that high.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't buy tickets at first. And then we thought, well, maybe try and see if this works for us.
Yeah. So what were some of your favorite entertainment highlights?
Yeah, well, basically there were two things to do that event. You could visit shows or do a scavenger hunt. So for the shows, there was an opening show, which we missed. There was a closing show at 2 a.m. There was a Castle Stage Villains ball show. They have ball shows every event, I think.
Yeah.
And there was a Cruella de Vil fashion show in Videopolis.
Oh, nice.
Well, we only watched the closing show, which was quite nice with a lot of characters and dancers on the Central Plaza stages with live singers. They were doing the Are You Ready for Halloween song.
Yeah, iconic.
Iconic by now. I just don't like those annoying pirates, Betty and Jimmy, who were performing, but well, okay. And there were, of course, a lot of nice projections and lights. So it was a nice closing ceremony for that evening. As said, we skipped the other shows, although I spotted something from the ball on a distance while passing, and it looked nice. For me, the highlight was the scavenger hunt. At arrival, everyone received a booklet with space for 3 to 8 stickers for Lent. So, and Main Street was also considered a Lent.
Ah, okay.
So the idea was to go to all places indicated on the map in your booklet and collect stickers to complete villain puzzles, basically, in the booklet.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
That was quite nice. And I have to say that Disney did this in a great way. At each location, there was a cast member with a Maleficent hat, with Maleficent horns, handing out the stickers. So it was easy to recognize them. Also from a distance, because you saw the horns. Yeah, even when it was a little bit dark sometimes. And they were there all night till 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
That was really good. I was expecting them to leave like at 1 a.m.
or
there were not sufficient stickers for everyone. But they were there all night and they had enough stickers for everyone. So that was
wonderful. Yeah,
really well organized. Yeah, at each location where you could collect a sticker, there was something to experience. So that's what I liked about this scavenger hunt.
Uh-huh.
It could be something like special lighting.
Yeah.
Skull Rock was lit in a really nice way, for example. Or there was a special character, or there was a little show element, or there were scary or ghostly actors, a live band, and so on. So there was at least something different than what you get at the usual evening at the park.
Yeah, totally.
At every spot where you could collect a sticker. So that was really nice. If you just followed the booklet and did it in an efficient way, then it was easy to do all places and see, well, basically every special thing they had that evening, except for the show. So that was something that you had to calculate in and check out the program carefully to be able to see everything. But but the scavenger hunt, it was really, really nice. It made you see all the special atmospheric elements. It was also a great way to spread people all over the park as well. Yeah, I really loved this hunt as the park experience was really different from normal. There was also spooky and dramatic music played everywhere as well. So whether you were walking in Fantasyland or Discoveryland, there was not a regular score. So it was really a different feel. Some highlights were a live Mexican band at Casa de Coco, Robin Hood characters near Bella Not, an Oogie Boogie show that was near the Cowboy Cookout barbecue restaurant, Princess and the Frog characters on the Molly Brown, a little walk through a couple of restaurants like Agrabah Cafe. So the restaurants were not closed. You could really go inside, and then they had like a fixed route to follow, like IKEA. and in Agrabah Cafe, you first had Aladdin. He was trying to sleep or something like that on the couches in the entrance area.
Yeah, like also like at IKEA.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. And Jafar was standing there in the entrance area, and there were a couple of actors in the dining rooms coming at you with fake fruits, but they were looking a little bit scary. So it was not too scary, but there was something going on in those restaurants. So that was really nice. Same for Lucky Nugget, a saloon where some actors were having some kind of ghostly setting. There was someone playing on the piano, and the lady looked like a dancer but with a ghostly face.
Yeah, nice.
And the tables were all gone in the center of the restaurant. It was just one table with a couple of candles, so it looked really spooky with dimmed lights.
Cool.
Really, really nice. There were some ghostly inhabitants walking around on Main Street USA, some zombies in the pirate area. So yeah, there was a lot of stuff to see, but these were some of the highlights in my opinion.
Nice. So did you see or meet any of the special characters or experience some of the unique streetmosphere?
Yeah, well, a lot, and especially love those ghostly actors on Main Street in the Lucky Nugget and then near the Phantom Manor. Pirate zombies around the caves. There were also a bit creepy sailors inside the Nautilus.
Ooh, so cool.
Those actors really made it feel like a Halloween party.
Yeah.
The Robin Hood characters near Bella Not were quite unique. So you had the sheriff of Nottingham, and I think I saw Prince John. So those were quite special. The Princess and the Frog characters on the Molly Brown were also quite unique, but they changed during the evening. So when we were there, we saw Naveen, but later I saw that Dr. Facilier was there, or the Crocodile, or even Tiana, and they were also sometimes there together. If you really wanted to see all the characters, then you had to come back a couple of times. But that was fun that they had some variety over the night. And we had Maleficent, and she was putting her spell on the castle. She was standing on a special platform in Central Plaza while the whole castle looked really spooky. It was quite dark with projections of briars. So that was really cool to see. Like, she was really putting the spell on the castle in a live live sequence. So stuff like that made it fantastic for me. Yeah, so much to see. And oh yeah, and there were also three pirates scaring you off inside the dark Pirates of the Caribbean queue. And since the crowds were extremely low that night, there was no one in the line. So they really could like jump scare you. And my wife and daughter, they almost got a heart attack of those guys. After that, it was maybe even more creepy while boarding an empty boat. So we just had an empty boat with the three of us.
Oh, so cool.
But also, we didn't see any other guests arriving for the boats. And the boats before and after you were also empty. So that made, after all those scary elements, it made the whole boat ride also feel a bit more scary. Like, oh, someone could jump out here, or is there maybe someone in that boat behind me? Or
but what a wonderful opportunity to really experience all the soundtracks and sound effects that you usually don't get the chance to really hear that much because people are talking around you or taking flash photos. Yeah,
and especially when you're sitting in the middle of the boat and you have a full overview.
And a great souvenir photo at the end. It's just y'all, nobody else.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, it looked really, really nice. But yeah, I think, by the way, the photos were not available that night.
Okay.
As a lot of shops were also closed.
I love the concept of Disneyland Paris not doing straight up haunted houses, but just having the live actors in the attraction, like the Nautilus, especially the walkthrough things, or just making the restaurant a walkthrough experience. Yep. It's so cool. They try to find the balance, I guess, between, you know, not scaring kids too bad, but also giving the adults a little bit of a thrill.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a difficult thing to do, but I think it's so much life into
there. They already warned on the booklet that you could use for the scavenger hunt, and which also contained the program, that there could be scary moments. And I think around the pirate area, around the caves, there were some signs saying, well, here are some scary things happening, but they didn't exactly mention that for the right for the Pirates of the Caribbean, right? So that okay, was so really was a surprise unexpected. So I bet these actors had the night of their lives.
So were there any special food items or culinary options?
Nope. Not for that night. Most carts were even closed.
Oh, no.
A lot of restaurants were closed. There were a couple of restaurants open that night.
Yeah.
They were indicated on the program with time, so that was completely clear where you could go if you wanted to have something, including Casa de Coco, Casey's Corner, Market House Deli, and some others, but nothing special to eat or drink that night.
Yeah. Well, we love some clarity. It's good to know that they list the times. So would you attend another villain's night? Was it worth it?
Yeah, well, for me, definitely a yes. I'm always a sucker for the parks at night. And now with different music, different lights, unique characters, lots of actors,
so cool.
Little show elements. Yeah. Also, the crowds, as said, were really low. We completed the full scavenger hunt even though we arrived late, like 10:30, and still we were able to do several rides as well. We saw the closing show. The rides really had short waits. So if we were just doing the scavenger hunt, we crossed along Big Thunder or Buzz Lightyear or Pirates, they were all like 5 to 10 minutes, or Pirates was just a walk on.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. We got our own boat, or the boats before and after were empty, as said.
Awesome.
Peter Pan, also a walk on, no one there.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we did Dumbo at the end of the night. We thought, well, we never do Dumbo because we think usually the lines are too long for something simple, although the views are nice. But we were flying all alone.
Wow.
There were no other guests in the elephants or in the queue. And Fantasyland at that moment, as it was almost time for the closing show, Fantasyland felt like it was completely empty already.
Like you rented out the park.
Yeah. So we were flying there in the dark, looking over Fantasyland without all those people. So that was really amazing.
Awesome.
And they even gave us like 4 times the regular ride time as there was no one. So they just let it run and run and run, probably till it was like 2 o'clock. And then they shut it down.
Brilliant.
So, and I said the party tickets were €55. So far less than the former public ticketed parties.
Nice.
So from that perspective, good value for money and a really fun night.
Oh, sounds so cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I would definitely try to go again, but I already saw that the next Disneyland Pass night, the Christmas night at November 30, is on a Thursday. So that's a bit more difficult. With a family life, school, work, and especially when you're living on a distance.
Yeah, but it sounds like really good times.
Absolutely. So if you're able to go, then I would definitely say go.
Do it.
So that was my villainous night report, I would say. And Eric, you recently attended the yearly horror festival Traumatica at Europa Park.
Yes.
So we're talking all about the gory details.
Yeah, we will be.
So this is a parental advisory warning to those listening with their little ones, as this is not Disney anymore.
Nope.
And here's a quick musical interlude.
Y'all, I hope you had time to tune out if you're listening with your kids, because we are going to get nasty up in here.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, I'm really wondering what's going to happen here, Eric. So, okay, here's something in a nutshell what we can expect from Traumatica, or how do you pronounce it in German?
Yeah, that's absolutely the same. It's just Traumatica. Okay. So, Traumatica.
Traumatica,
yeah, works.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Pretty much the same. Yeah.
So, Traumatica is the yearly horror festival at Europa Park. You have to be at least 16 years old to enter, but it's definitely targeting an adult demographic. So I would say it feels like an 18 and above event to me personally. But this year's Traumatica featured 7 walkthrough haunted house experiences, each one with its own theme and live actors, as well as several live shows, a Traumatica exclusive horror VR experience, and a few open Europa Park attractions, and of course, a plethora of food trucks, which is always nice to have if you're hungry.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, it's really a celebration of all things horror and Halloween. This is also an extra ticketed event, which begins at around 6:45 p.m. in the evening and ends at 11:30 p.m. at night. So regular tickets cost €41, which grants you access to the event. But for those who definitely want to experience all the houses, I would recommend opting for the more expensive Shockster Pass, which comes in at €92 per person, and not only grants you access to the Traumatica Horror Festival, but lets you skip the queues of each house once as well. Also, big plus here is you get to skip the absolutely massive queue at the bag check when just entering the festival. Oh, so that saves you.
That's amazing.
Probably an hour. That line is insane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Do you have any idea how many tickets they sell? How many people go in there?
No, I really couldn't say. No. But they do a really strict bag check. So you're not allowed to bring any drinks. You're not allowed to bring professional photo equipment. You're not allowed to dress up. And they're really strict about that. So we had a Coke in our bag, which we bought in Europa Park during our day visit there. And we had to throw it out.
Coke sounds...
not that kind of Coke.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. When we visit the ride. And Disneyland Paris, you were allowed to bring drinks inside, but they did like a sniffing test where the cast member sniffed your bottle, which was really awkward, but it was convenient because you could take all your drinks inside, probably sniffing for alcohol. I don't know. Here they're just not even sniffing. Instant throwaway, no water, no nothing.
No.
Really, the Shoxer Pass saves you so much time, and it was the ticket of our choice. There's also a nightclub called the Vampires Club, which one can enter for an extra €7, as well as exclusive experiences, which are quite pricey and cost as much as €312 per person. These change from year to year, but usually offer some exclusive scare experiences or an interactive theater type experience. So we didn't have time to do any of those this year, but if you're spending several nights at Traumatica, it's probably worth your time. They sound really interesting.
Right. So how many nights is this event?
Oh, this goes all throughout October. It's usually on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Okay. I see. Okay. Yeah. So it's not like a one-time event.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. It's definitely like a whole horror month.
Ah, cool.
It's totally worth it because they put in all this crazy effort to set up this entire festival space with all the houses, which have super intricate exteriors and the crazy shows. So it's too much for just a one-night thing.
Right.
Yeah. You have to let it run for a while probably to make a profit.
Yeah. Nice. But €312 for an extra exclusive experience.
Yeah.
I hope it's really good then.
Yeah, I really can't say I haven't done one, but I assume so. It's experiences where it's small groups of people. There's even an entire house that is just for those attendees, so it's not open to the public, and it's with a lot of actors. It does sound cool, and I'm so tempted, but it's definitely one of those VIP type experiences.
Yeah, you're with two, so it's already €624.
Exactly. Yeah, that does really add up quickly. Yeah,
that's almost one gold pass for Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. It's definitely for fans and connoisseurs, but I would say the €41 ticket to get into the event is absolutely more than reasonable. You get a huge bang for your buck. Yeah. So that is
nice.
Really fantastic value. Yeah.
Okay. So which haunted houses are, well, must see highlights in your opinion?
Yeah. So I'm going to insert a spoiler alert here since I will be discussing some, but not all details.
Right.
If you're visiting the event this year, there are still plenty of surprises to be had. Each house was quite different and featured its own highlights. Mm-hmm. However, there are a few that really stood out to me. So one was called Tarot House Coven, which was this crazy witch / fortune teller themed house that started by letting small groups of people, maybe 5 to 8 people in, entering this pre-show room. And there's a fortune teller that greeted us by gazing into a crystal ball behind a podium. The entire room then just all of a sudden went completely black. And when the lights came back on, the fortune teller was standing right in front of somebody's face and just absolutely jump scared them so hard. It was really entertaining. Another neat scene in this house got us walking through caged pathways that were elevated in the air, and they're surrounded by fog, so you couldn't see below you. And there's also this laser swamp, which looked really cool. So it's just this solid green wall of light that was about the height of your waist. Scare actors dressed as witches would jump out of the fog and bang on the cages, and really got a few good scares out of folks with that one. Also, yeah, including me.
Yeah.
It also featured a fantastic giant puppet themed to a demon that could blow fog out of its mouth. And this puppet, it was so close to, I mean, you could reach out and touch it. So it really blew that fog in your face. And it was just such a blast.
And did it look realistic? Or
it was as if a gothic statue came to life.
Yeah,
it didn't look like a biological creature. It had like the stone kind of aesthetic. Yeah, but it was very detailed and screen worthy, in my opinion. It looked gorgeous and the lighting was incredible.
Nice.
Another great house was the Petting Zoo Family Reunion.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah. Which was one of two open air houses. This one was themed to a redneck, backwoods, incest, cannibal family who are celebrating their daughter's wedding.
Oh, no.
One moment that I remember fondly was one of the scare actors who was managing the Shockster Pass queue integrated the Sharpie they were holding into the spiel. So the way Shockster Pass works is you get an armband, and by the entrance of each haunted house, there is a scare actor managing the crowd. So how many go in from the regular queue, how many go in from the Shockster Pass queue. Your band also features these 7 boxes, so each one representing a house. So every time you enter a house, one is crossed out with a marker. Anyway, this messed up looking redneck scare actor would put on a little show pretending to sniff the Sharpie and then going cross-eyed saying, "Oh, this is really good."
Oh, no.
And they would even offer it to the folks waiting in line. So when they got to me, I pretended to sniff the marker and responded with, "Oh yeah, that's really, really good." And they were so excited and answered, "Yeah." In this really pretend high voice, which was so entertaining.
Yeah.
Another neat thing was the entire open air house was decorated with chopped off limbs and gore. So you had people's decapitated heads lying around, as well as a festive wedding feast comprised of body parts, blood, human brains. It was just really fun. And there was also this messed up looking wedding cake with a scare actor who would pop out of the gory cake every once in a while and just frightening everybody that was standing in front of it. So the cake featured this really neat mechanism that let it open up and the actor could just jump out really quickly.
So you didn't see it coming, and it was really...
No, not at all. You're also too distracted by looking at all the horrific things that are just on that dinner table.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah, it was set up to be a little bit like that famous painting by Da Vinci, The Last Supper. But it was so messed up. It was really entertaining. I think it's worth mentioning at this point that most of the houses, the scare actors do not touch you. A few of them offer these glow-in-the-dark bracelets that you can put on. They're completely optional. And when you do put one on, that lets the scare actors know they are allowed to touch you. So that adds an extra thrill to some of the houses. I did opt to let them touch me, which did make it even more frightening and creepy because, you know, they're running their hands down your back and it's so gross, but it's also really, really fun.
Yeah, but that's really smart with the bracelets. Yeah.
Yeah, my husband, he did not want to be touched at all, so he didn't have a bracelet on, and they they didn't leave him alone, but they didn't touch him at least.
Right.
So. My last two honorable mentions include Skin Deep Backstage, which featured these aesthetic but extremely messed up looking sculptures made out of human body parts, which reminded me a bit of the Hannibal TV show, and the quote-unquote Unknown House, which featured scare actors in absolutely intricate alien costumes. These looked so cool. They're like a fusion out of the classic 80s alien film with Sigourney Weaver, and just had their own little twist to it. So they didn't look like a copy at all, but so scary, and they would jump out of corners and follow you and run behind you on the floor, and it was so... oh my gosh. At the end of the day, many houses are on par with what you would experience at Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios, which I feel like is the flagship event worldwide when it comes to these horror experiences. But Traumatica is just on a smaller scale overall and only has one scare zone with live actors. So that's something that could really be expanded upon in the future, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to them because the scare actors were there until the very, very end, which I really appreciated. So they didn't disappear after an hour. They were just there all night engaging with people.
Nice.
You could play around and have funny dialogue exchanges with them. So that's really fun. The houses are all beautifully and intricately decorated, so you feel like you're stepping into a horror film. It's completely immersive, and it's a good-looking horror film at that.
Sounds really interesting. And I totally understand the 16 years.
Yeah. Those are necessary.
Nice. So what were some of your favorite entertainment highlights that night?
Yeah, so even though there were 3 stages this year, the most exciting one was the flagship Traumatica Circus. There are 2 shows most evenings of Traumatica.
Mm-hmm.
The day we visited, there was one at 9 p.m. and another one at 10:30 p.m. And you can download the official Traumatica app to get those infos on the day of your visit. Traumatica Circus was basically what it sounds like, a horror-themed circus show. It was honestly amazing. It featured a ton of unique stunts that I haven't seen before. So if you enjoy Cirque du Soleil-style shows, this is definitely for you.
Yeah.
Animal lovers will also be happy to know that none were forced to participate in the show, so it was all live human beings. Some highlights of the show included a sway pole stunt. So this pole almost reached the top of the giant circus tent, with a performer climbing up and doing various acrobatic stunts while the entire pole swayed over the audience, which was fun and unique to watch.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Is it going to fall on your
quite
head?
An experience.
Nobody knows. Another included the gag of the century. So it was this guy, comedian, who comes on stage and makes a bunch of funny frat guy style jokes and even picks out an audience member to help with a whip stunt where he places two straws on the audience member and then whips them into smaller pieces. Honestly, my anxiety levels watching the stunt were through the roof, but he performed it perfectly, all while making more dirty jokes, which were very entertaining. After sending the audience member back to her seat, he suddenly rips off his shirt to reveal a pair of beautiful jiggly breasts, complete with nipple tassels. And then strobe lights come on, and the formerly hyper-masculine performer suddenly turns into a beautiful feminine creature with long hair, high heels, and the whole shebang. So it left me gooped, gagged, and seriously entertained. It was so good.
Okay.
It's so unexpected.
I'm wondering who came up with all these ideas. But
it gave me the sense that Europe Park basically casts an open casting to various talents, and they just picked out the best of the best of those who came, and that's what the show felt like. So there wasn't really a continuous storyline, so it wasn't a methodically planned out like a musical or a lot of Disney shows are. It felt more like little segments, and each one had their own little entertaining storyline, which was really fun.
Right.
Anyway, if you're at Traumatica, the circus show is a must see, in my opinion.
So Eric, can you tell us a bit about the Traumatica Horror VR experience?
Oh, so this was something completely different. Another new experience that I haven't yet seen anywhere else. Mm-hmm. The entire experience took place in the Curse of Cassandra attraction. This is in the Greek themed land in Europa Park, which is absolutely gorgeous, by the way.
Okay.
Curse of Cassandra is a Madhouse flat ride. Mm-hmm. These are usually manufactured by Vekoma. However, a similar attraction under the name of Mystery Swing was created by Mack Rides, aka Europa Park's proprietors.
Yeah. Listen to the Europa Park episode that we have.
Oh, yes.
To learn more about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. The ride is designed to be an optical and physical illusion consisting of several rows of seats attached to a swaying gondola with a rotating drum. Mm. The ride creates the impression that the rider is turning upside down, whereas it is actually the room that is moving around them. There are various versions of this around Europe, like Fengyu Palace in Fantasialand or in Efteling Villa Volta, if I'm remembering the name correctly. Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah.
But instead of seeing the regular attraction, we got VR headsets placed on our heads and everyone had to sit on one side of the attraction. I guess that's the video and the helmets would sync up properly with the movement of the ride.
Oh.
The storyline was officially called the quote-unquote Fallen. And during the 4-minute experience, you become a murderer.
Oh.
It starts with your birth in this absolutely crazy hospital, so dark, so creepy, which then proceeds to your completely f***ed up childhood. All the other characters in this animated horror experience have these super creepy blacked out eyes, by the way. So it's just, give me the chills. The attraction basically just swings you back and forth the entire time, but the video moves so quickly and completely fills your field of vision that it feels much more intense than it really is. You then proceed to murder a bunch of people and are pulled right back to jail before being electrocuted and dying. But the makers of this VR horror experience don't let anybody off the hook that easily. So you, who are now a corpse, get to experience your entire autopsy in absolutely gory, bloody detail, ending with a thrilling plunge to the fiery pits of hell. It's really one crazy ass experience. Very entertaining, and I would recommend it to anybody with strong nerves and a love for horror themed media.
Right.
There are also a few jump scares in the VR experience, but honestly, if you're attending Traumatica, jump scares are probably just one of the main emotional components of the entire event.
Yeah, it's the main feature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So would you attend another Traumatica festival? Well, was it worth it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I was already expecting that after this whole story and all your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I would visit Traumatica again. So for anybody attending who only has one night at the festival, I would highly recommend the Shockster Pass if it's within your budget.
Oh, yeah.
You can experience everything the event has to offer. And pro tip, if you can manage it, I would say get dinner before going to Traumatica so you don't waste any precious time on dining. Also, I noticed that the first two haunted houses, which are located right to the left of the entrance, are overseen by most people entering the event for the first time. So those usually are walk-ons at the beginning of the night when entering, because everybody's so distracted by the houses that are so conveniently placed in the center right in front of you that everybody forgets about the ones that are hidden on the left. And those are usually the ones that develop really long queues towards the end of the night. So right. if you do those right away, even if you have a Shockster Pass, you can just walk through the regular queue and then save that Shockster Pass entry for a later time. Do that house again or do another house that you really enjoyed again.
Right.
You only have 4 hours to experience it all and there's so much to do. Check out the fabulous Traumatica Circus. The entrance here is also a little hidden inside the gift shop, but it's totally worth seeing and was one of the highlights of the event for me. If you do decide to get the regular ticket without a Shockster Pass, be sure to arrive early. The regular line at the security check into the festival is absolutely massive. I would say 30 minutes before entry at least. Better to arrive 1 hour before the doors open, honestly.
Right. Yeah, good tip.
Yeah. Overall, Traumatica is a large and fabulous horror event that caters to a mature demographic. There's so much to see and do and so many good scares to be had. So if you're a fan of the horror genre, Traumatica gives you the chance to step into that fantasy. You can engage with the walk-around characters and see all the twisted thrills inside the various houses. So it was a really great time, and we'll definitely try to attend again next year.
Nice. Sounds really good.
So, Niels, would this be something you would ever do?
Well, I don't think my family will be into this, but
right.
I think I would like this, yes.
Yeah.
At least to experience once, yeah. and then I can decide.
Do you like horror films and scary movies in general?
Yeah, I love to watch frightening movies every now and then. Yeah, just like the scare actors
yeah.
in the villainous night at Disneyland Paris were my, let's say, favorite thing. So this goes a step further, of course. But yeah, I would definitely like to experience this one
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Brilliant. Niels, where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me on Instagram. I'm at Niels Capturing Parks. And for all my other activities, you can still visit the website capturingdisneyparks.com, which is my old name. But I'm keeping this alive. Yeah.
Awesome. If you just found us, be sure to subscribe to Aramajique on your favorite podcasting platform to never miss a future episode. Follow Aramajique on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and check out our website, aramajique.net, for all the latest Disneyland Paris news and European theme park news. Please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/aramajique. You can get access to a completely exclusive episode every single month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running. It helps cover costs that we incur with the software and all that good stuff hosting the website, so we really appreciate everybody that's helping us out there.
Totally.
And before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out at the Sequoia tier. So thank you so much to Simon, JB, Gray, Andy, Jordan, and Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, guys. Stay safe, good luck trick-or-treating, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
They could keep some of the updated effects, but maybe just adapt them to fit the original vision.
Right. Yeah.
I could imagine even the classic moon yeah. receiving an animated face that reacts to the trains passing yeah. by or something. But keeping that original style would be really, really nice.
Yeah. There's a lot of nostalgia about the original yeah. version of Space Mountain, of course. But if you really bring back exactly that version, the fans would love it, but probably the younger generations not, because they don't understand and think it's a bit old-fashioned maybe. So it would be indeed nice if they upgrade the original one a little bit and maybe keep indeed some of the more advanced effects of the Mission 2
yeah.
to make it fit for multiple audiences, although the fans probably would still...
That was just a short preview of the full-length Patreon-exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive, along with all of our other fabulous Patreon-exclusive episodes now on patreon.com/aramajique. See you there!